I want to call this meeting of the Junction City City Council to order tonight on Tuesday, September the 14th, 2021, at 6:30 p.m. And welcome our public tonight. Thank you. Also, if everyone would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll take roll call. Counselor Ken Wells.
Here.
Counselor John Gamby.
Here.
Counselor Sandy Thomas.
Here.
Counselor Andrea Senega.
Here.
Counselor Sid Washburn.
Here.
And Counselor Karen Leach, and she is absent tonight. Now we'll call to any changes to the agenda. I do have one. We will be doing the library board appointments, and that will come right after number 8 and before number 9 on your agenda. So right after the noise street closure request and before the revolving loan fund committee. Next, we'll have approval of the minutes for August the 10th.
I make a motion to approve the minutes for August 10th, 2021.
Is there a second to that?
A second.
Been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from the August 10th, 2021 City Council meeting. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion carries unanimously. Now we'll have the August 24th, 2021. Is there any additions or corrections to it? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
I make a motion we approve the minutes for August 24th, 2021.
Thank you. And is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes for August 24th, 2021. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. And that motion sounds like it was approved unanimously also. We will go on to the any public comments on items not listed on the agenda. Open it up for the public online. Okay. As well as, yes.
My name is Kathy Campbell. I'm at 554 Carolina Street. I just had a couple of questions about the purchase of the building that I just wanted to pose to the council. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know if we've received those ARP funds, which was House Bill 5006 from Senator Manning. Do we know if those funds were approved as earmarked by Senator Manning? Will the funds cover the entire purchase price, remodel, and closing costs of the building? And if not, where will those funds come from?
Okay. We'll take those in advisement, and they'll be part of our record, and we will get back to you on the answers to those, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes, Cindy.
Cindy Montgomery, 1215 Oak Street. So I meant to do this last month, but unfortunately I couldn't make it. So please bear with me. I'm in writing. In the last year, I have referred two businesses to the revolving loan fund. Both businesses came back to me saying that the committee was not active due to the need for committee members. I decided to submit my application and volunteer my time. The revolving loan fund is the only committee that has non-staggering appointments, which causes this committee to become non-existent every 2 years. I hope the mayor, the city council, and the F&J committee can take a look at the issue and resolve it. Mayor Fiesick, twice you stated that you would never appoint me to the revolving loan fund committee. I felt your comments were rude and inappropriate. The mayor and the city council should be held to the same standards of code of conduct as city employees. I appreciate the support from those council members who supported my application to this committee. I do feel that the committee is important to the Junction City businesses, which is why at this time I have decided to rescind my application for the revolving loan fund committee.
Thank you, Cindy. We do have that on the agenda tonight, the revolving loan committee appointments is number nine on the committee. And I'm very sorry, I talked to you and apologized to you before you took offense to any of my actions, and I do so again tonight. Is there anyone else or anyone listening in that has any kind of comments? If you do, please state your name and your address for the record.
I'm not part of the...
Yes.
Yeah, my comment too is Cindy was the first one that had her application put in. And I feel like we did her an injustice. Actually, it wasn't. And I...
Your concerns are part of the record. We now go on to the, are we still waiting for comments?
We don't have any.
Any, all right. We'll move right along then to the Sir Optimus proclamation. City of Junction City, Sir Optimus International Junction City Proclamation. Whereas the Sir Optimus organization, founded on October the 3rd, 1921, works to economically empower women and girls through access to education. And whereas the Sir Optimus International Junction City Club was formed in 1969. And whereas Sir Optimus International Junction City has been an integral part of Junction City's community for the past 52 years, and whereas Sir Optimus International Junction City has improved the lives of Junction City's women and girls by dispersing approximately 75 Sir Optimus Live Your Dreams Awards and other educational grants and scholarships to local women to help them obtain the education and training they need to improve their employment prospects and economic well-being. Sponsoring Ophelia's Place in Oaklea Middle School and Junction City High School, working with other local nonprofit groups and law enforcement agencies against sex trafficking and domestic violence to help women obtain the legal and economic resources they need to break free from their former lives. Sponsoring Missoula Children's Theater for 24 years, a program that brings live theater to students in grades K through 12. Providing 20,566 bagged meals to children in grades K through 5 through our Bunches of Lunches program started in 2012. Providing a fee book each year to students in grades K through 5 to promote children's literacy. Providing personal care bags to women in need in our community. Building the community basketball courts on 6th and Maple in Junction City. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Beverly A. Fesick, Mayor of Junction City, do hereby proclaim October the 3rd, 2021, Sir Optimus International of Junction City Day throughout the city of Junction City, Oregon, USA. I encourage extending congratulations to Sir Optimus for its 100th anniversary and to celebrate the Junction City Club for their many contributions to our community. In witness thereof, whereof I hereby set my hand and cause the official seal of the City of Junction City to be affixed this 14th day of September 2021. And, do we need a motion for nothing? Okay. I get to do that then. And I do that with pride being a Sir Optimus myself. So. We'll move on to the public hearing, zoning code text amendment regulating mobile food carts. And I'll turn this over to Director Cappin.
Mayor Beeson?
Yes.
You'll want to read the public hearing script.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, item six, public hearing mobile food units, legislative hearing script, City of Junction City. This evening, we are continuing our public hearing on ordinance number one, an ordinance amending City of Junction City Municipal Code Chapters 17.05, Introduction and Definitions, 17.135, Temporary Use Permit, and 17.150, Administration, Enforcement, and Interpretation to permit mobile food units in commercial zones. The city council will make a final decision upon the ordinance based on the complete record, including the testimony received at tonight's public hearing. These proceedings will be recorded. This hearing will be held in accordance with the land use procedures required by the city and the state of Oregon. This is a type 4 legislative procedure. At the beginning of the public hearing tonight, staff will identify the applicable substantive criteria for the city's comprehensive plan and our state of Oregon statewide planning goals. For anyone wishing to speak, you must be recognized by the mayor, and you must state your name and address for the public record. Written testimony may also be offered and will be considered and made a part of the record. Before we begin, does any councilor wish to declare an actual or a potential conflict of interest in this matter? Okay. Hearing none, we're going to open hearing. I will now recommence the public hearing that we left open for ordinance number one, an ordinance that would amend the city's zoning and land use code to permit mobile food units in commercial zones at 6:42 p.m. May we please have the staff report?
Good evening. Terry Andrews is online, and she's the one that wrote the staff report, so I'm going to let her present it.
Okay. Go ahead, Terry.
Thank you. Good evening, Council. This is Planning Technician Andrew. At the public hearing on August 10th, the council heard the staff report and took testimony, and through that testimony, asked staff to bring back information about adding language to the proposed code to require liability insurance from the mobile food unit operators. Well, that's what I'm doing this evening. Staff did do some research. I looked at other communities similar size to Junction City in this part of Oregon and didn't find any, and widened that search a little bit. And I did locate one other community similar size along the coast that does require liability insurance. And in addition to that research, the city's legal counsel was consulted, and through that process, the city's insurance carrier was also consulted regarding this proposed language. And I am looking at the AIS right now. Toward the bottom there is the code language. So the feedback from the city's insurance company said that the liability insurance is a great idea for the property owner who is looking at renting space to a mobile food unit operator. They have some hesitation regarding the city requiring that as a requirement. They saw that there were some drawbacks to that. Those drawbacks were, there was a concern raised for the potential of a discrimination suit being filed if other types of temporary use permits other than the mobile food unit were issued and they did not require similar liability insurance, that could be a problem for the city. The other concern was that if a mobile food unit permit were issued and the employee mistakenly issued it without requiring the insurance coverage, that could also come back on the city as a problem. The code language that's in the AIS and in the proposed code amendment this evening was written with those concerns in mind, so I'm just going to read them verbatim for you. So the applicant provides proof of valid Lane County mobile food unit license. License must be valid for the duration of the City of Junction City mobile food unit permit. This clarifies something that was in the criteria previously. It didn't specify that the license from Lane County had to be valid during the entire period of the license that the city's issuing. So that kind of, it clarifies that. And then the liability insurance, the applicant provides proof of general commercial liability insurance coverage for the licensee's operations in an amount of not less than $1 million per occurrence and $2 million aggregate. In addition, the applicant shall provide proof of property damage insurance coverage in an amount not less than $100,000 per occurrence, $500,000 aggregate. While proof of such coverage must be submitted by the applicant, city is not required to determine the accuracy or completeness of the proof provided. Applicant is solely responsible for maintaining valid insurance coverage for the duration of the City of Junction City Mobile Food Unit permit. The other thing that I wanted to point out is that the related code language, so that the Junction City Municipal Code Chapter 17.145.010 authorizes the council, the planning commission, or an individual property owner to initiate an amendment, and that is indeed what happened. The city council initiated a code amendment to regulate mobile food units at their meeting August 11th of 2020. And I went over the history of that at our last meeting during the staff report, so unless there were questions regarding that, I'm not going to go over that again. Are there any questions regarding the code language, or any?
Terry, this is Madam Mayor. This is Terry Connolly. Can I chime in? Just to my 2 cents. I just wanted to let the council know expressly that because we recognize the insurance coverage addition is a policy choice for the council, we included 2 separate Exhibit Bs. One is a version without that insurance, those insurance requirements, and one is with those insurance requirements. So you can move forward on either basis tonight.
Thank you.
Is there anything else to be added by staff?
Not at this time, no.
Okay. Is there, let's see. Okay, any of the counselors have questions for the staff?
I do have a question. I guess
yes.
I'm a little confused on, while proof of such coverage must be submitted by the applicant, city is not required to determine the accuracy or completeness of this. They can just tell us they have it? Do they have to show us anything? There should be a card that they have.
So proof of coverage has to be submitted, but it isn't, then the city doesn't have to necessarily call that insurance carrier, double check it's licensed in Oregon. They may have changed on the face of that document to match the $1 million coverage, and really they only have $10,000 in coverage. That kind of follow-up, we're trying to eliminate the required city's liability for not following up to that level.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
Madam Mayor, Councilor Wilson. Yes. I just want to make sure that they have to meet state health codes and fire codes to operate in the city.
That's correct, yes.
Thank you.
Anything else from any of the councilors?
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
I just wanted to say I appreciated the 2 Exhibit Bs, and I appreciated how both Terry and our city council, city attorney explained that out, because it's very cut and dry, and I think that's very important for us when we make our overall decision.
Thank you. Anything further before I open up for any comment from the public? We do wish to hear from everyone who is interested in this proposal, and please remember to state your name and address for the record. Is there any proponent testimony? Or we got it opened up for? Hearing none. Is there any neutral?
Madam Mayor, we do have one.
Oh, you do have one, okay. Yes, could we have your name and address, please?
Ted Gardner, 810 Birch Street. I just wanted to clarify, did I hear correctly that there are two different possible ways that this could be done, one with the insurance and one without?
Yes.
Okay, I just, thank you.
No, thank you. Is there anyone else out there?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Is there any neutral testimony? Oh, yes, yes, Cindy.
Cindy Montgomery, 1215 Oak Street. I'm also on the Planning Commission, and the insurance issue did not come before the Planning Commission. But as a business owner who has to give lots of different people my insurance for free, you can list an additional insured, and that person isn't additionally insured. They just get notification of all your insurance changes. So you don't have to send them. You don't have to ask for them. They're automatically sent to the lien holder. It's not really a lien holder. It's just an additional insured. So.
Thank you. Any counselors have any questions for Ms. Montgomery? Okay.
Could I have a question?
Yes.
Is it our turn to talk a little
bit? Yeah,
you can. Okay. I'm wondering about the same thing that Cindy brought up, and I was wondering if the staff might further clarify. And then the question that came in from the other person online, why are we wanting to, it feels like to me we're kind of hedging, like we're requiring something, but we're not really taking responsibility for requiring it. So I'd like to understand why that's the recommendation.
The staff have an answer for that.
Sure. Well, this is my attempt to protect the city from liability it probably doesn't want to assume while trying to also ensure your citizens are a little bit safer for the testimony at the last hearing. So, Councilor Gamby, my general recommendation is not to require liability insurance, liability coverage of permit applicants, because mistakes in that coverage or lapse of coverage have been held to be the city's responsibility. And I don't think that you want a type one review to impose inordinate amounts of review time on your staff. Mm-hmm. Now that's me trying to protect you. That's not you making your decision. So you can change the language as you want.
Sure.
I'm just trying to protect the city.
Could I do a follow-up?
Yes.
Yeah. Councilor Conley, I recall that same testimony at the last meeting, so I understand we kind of tasked you with that job, and I hope didn't come across wrong. I'm not questioning why you did what you did, because I remember that the council asked you to look into that. So I appreciate what you guys are doing and trying to address these things. I guess.
I'm happy to explain, but thank you for that.
Yeah.
It does sound a little mealy, and I'm used to being mealy because I, you know, my goal is to protect the city.
Yeah, okay.
Does that answer your question, Councilor Gamby?
Yeah, I see why the recommendation is coming back the way it is. I'm not sure what I think about that yet, but I understand.
We'll give you time to think.
Sure.
Is there any opponent testimony? Someone who is against this? Hmm. Sue.
Madam Mayor, are you talking about the insurance one? Is that?
No, we're still on the testimony, and we are asking for public testimony if there is any, anyone who is wanting to give testimony to be against it. But I guess we're hearing none.
Correct.
Okay. So now we'll go, of course, I've allowed some questions from the counselor, but now, yes, Counselor Thomas, do you have questions?
No, I was just wondering if you were talking about A or B or.
Yeah, we're talking.
Or B with one with insurance, yeah, whether what was with insurance or not.
Whether we're going to have just the liability insurance, not.
Correct.
All insurance, okay.
And.
Yes.
Well, I for one think it's still a good idea. One of the ladies that has a food cart also came and talked to us. And it sounded like. Sounded pretty good. We need something.
Well,
maybe it's not ready to finish yet, and maybe we need to spend more time.
I think you're talking about, it was initials. Carrie or Terry, can either one of y'all, I thought I had it written down. The lady, the food cart lady who came in.
Her name is Tess Gardner.
Tess, yes, yes. And she talked about, it was like $300 a year. And it was it was initials, I remember that.
And then the testimony that Cindy gave.
Madam Mayor, it's flip. That's the first requirement, the Lane County Mobile Food Unit License. That's the flip.
Okay.
Food Liability Insurance Program, I guess, is what they call it. But I think that's covered by Terry's first requirement.
Oh, yes. I've got it right here. Now I find it. Okay. Is there any other questions from counselors?
Should we be asking you any of this for your opinion?
No.
Not at all.
Okay. So does any staff have any further input on this?
I have nothing to add, Your Honor.
Okay. Only that this is a policy decision that you get to balance liability to the city and protection to your citizens, and we're happy to facilitate that conversation.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. So hearing no other testimony of any kind, I'm going to close this public hearing at 6:59, yes, p.m., and we'll go to City Council deliberation and decision. Is there any deliberation by the council, discussion by the council?
Madam Mayor, Councilwoman.
Yes, yes.
I'm in favor of having insurance because all businesses have to have insurance in case something happens. And I think we need that for liability for the city.
Okay. Carrie Connolly, our legal, could you restate again why you are saying that we don't need this, that it is in our best interest not to have it?
So the balancing is between the liability insurance that you would be requiring is intended to protect the property owner and patrons of the mobile food carts. And my position, I guess, is that is something that the lessor, the private property owner on whose property the mobile food cart is placed, they will be requiring that of their lessee. Now, if the city imposes that requirement and something goes wrong with the insurance, like the coverage isn't the amount that the city requires by its code, or the coverage lapses during the middle of the permit term, the Oregon Supreme Court has determined that the city can be held liable for not fully enforcing its code. So I don't like to put code language in that there's a chance might not be enforced, and that staff is in kind of a tough position having to ensure that the insurance is carried in the right amount and through the full year. Whereas we think that coverage would be obtained anyway, whether the city requires it or not. And if it isn't, then the lessor, the property owner, would take care of that rather than having the city added to the list of names on the lawsuit. It's a precautionary measure.
Okay. Yes, yes, Councilor Washburn.
Can we make it so that written in the language that the property owner has to have X amount of dollars insurance that way?
No, no. It's the property owner who is leasing the plot to the mobile food cart owner. That property owner would require their lessee, the mobile food cart owner, just like this language requires. But instead of it being in your city code, we think it makes a lot of sense for it to be in the property owner's lease. We can't require the property owner to include that in their lease. It's just inconceivable that they wouldn't include that requirement.
Thank you.
That's my perspective, though. Of course, I'm careful. I want you to know this is for your consideration. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just trying to explain the concern.
Okay. Yes, Andrea, sorry.
Councilor Conley, this is Andrea. I have a question, just some clarification. So to make sure I understand this right, if we write something in our code for this and make like a policy or whatever on it, there's a potential chance for liability to come back on the city. But if we don't put anything in our code and we don't go that route, then the responsibility falls back on the property owner that's allowing the food trucks to be on their property. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
Well, so maybe and probably, but what we know is that so if a mobile food cart owner doesn't carry the proper amount of insurance and the food cart falls over on somebody, they would have a claim against that mobile food cart owner. Absolutely. Then they would probably also name the property owner. And to protect him or herself from that, the property owner would have required the mobile food cart owner to carry insurance, because they know that they are likely to get named in a suit by somebody hurt by the mobile food cart owner. Now, if you, the city, are requiring this liability coverage, then in addition to the mobile food cart owner and the property owner, the city could be named in that suit as well.
So if we don't require anything, then we can't be named in any sort of a lawsuit of something, like a worst case scenario?
Right. Yeah, I mean, on this theory, you couldn't be named. Maybe they would say you never should have issued a permit. This person is, you know, didn't satisfy any of the other criteria either. But this is just adding one criteria that imposes some level of duty on city staff. And I think Ross explained the case, but it was a City of Eugene case. It involved a taxi cab. The City of Eugene issued a permit for this taxi cab to operate. The city required $100,000 of coverage. The taxi cab owner only had $10,000 in coverage, and the city was held liable for that difference when somebody was injured by that taxi cab owner.
Okay.
Mayor Feasey.
Yes,
Councilor Conley, I guess my question is, what's to stop a lawyer from going after the city, whether we have something in here or not? Because if they're pushy, I mean, we have some pockets too. So if we went with version two, what's to stop them from coming after us?
Well, you raise a good point. We can't stop them, but we might have better defenses. We can always get named.
So I guess what I'm asking then is, You're saying if we have nothing in there, we would have a better defense than if we had specific guidelines, but as stated on page 10, all those requirements fell back on the food truck person to have that insurance, and we did, and it says we don't have to check it. So, I mean, I looked at that thinking that we were getting two positives versus no negatives, and maybe I read it wrong.
Well, that's why I drafted it that way. Yes, I'm trying to point the finger away, not at the city, but at the local food cart owner. I just need to make sure that everybody is aware, adding a requirement for insurance coverage raises the possibility of suit against the city, regardless of how I draft it. And I tried to draft it very carefully.
Thank you.
Any questions from any of the rest of the city council? So to summarize, the insurance company said that in their opinion, the property owner should have this liability insurance, but not the city. And also our legal counsel is saying same thing. So if someone does get hurt on the property, they definitely, I'm sure, would sue the cart, and they would sue the owner of the property, and less likelihood that we would get sued. We might be, but be less likely that we would have, if we don't have this liability, it'd be less likelihood of us not getting named. Is that correct, Councillor Connolly? Carrie?
That is a good summation. And I do want to point out, it is it's a close call, and it's a close enough call that CIS is not heavy-handed about its best practices. If you impose this requirement, CIS is not going to increase city deductibles or otherwise affect your coverage. They recognize it's a risk. They don't think it's a huge risk. So I just want to point out, while I'm raising these issues, it isn't an open and shut matter. You know, it's a valid policy choice.
Okay. So that's another facet to it, that our insurance company wouldn't raise our premiums. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So, how would the council like to proceed in regard to this?
Can I make a...
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. So.
I'm just going to throw out a possible recommendation that we don't make a decision tonight. We take a little bit more time to think about this, because I don't feel I'm ready to make a decision on this tonight. I feel like I want to, if we need to maybe change some language again or go that route again, we have time to do that. We have time to maybe think about it. I don't know if something can go to a work session and discuss a little more. I'm just saying, I'm not ready to make a decision on this tonight.
Okay. How does the rest of the council feel on this? That we put it off until, say, our next meeting, which would be our work session in 2 weeks.
Fine with me.
So then you're saying we would, there's two options for the ordinance adoption, so we could either do A or B. So it's the recommendation from Andrea was to do A. Option A, where we read the ordinance is read in full, no motion is to do this. At the next meeting, the ordinance will be read title only and considered, which is on page.
Is this going to cause a problem as with staff or council if we decide not to do anything about this tonight, but to do more study on it?
So, Mayor, Council, the planning technician, Andrew.
Yes.
The one consideration would be that the beer station is operating under a temporary use permit, and the temporary use permit is valid for a year with the possibility of two extensions through the Planning Commission, and they received their second extension last November. And so their permit runs out November 21st of this year, and they're not eligible for another extension.
Okay. Well, this would be putting it off for 2 weeks. Is that going to, that would still give us plenty of time, am I correct? Finding technician Andrews?
Well, I could get clarification, make sure I understand. You would want to talk about it at the work session in 2 weeks, but the public hearing would need to be continued to either, to a date certain. So that would mean a public hearing at the fourth Tuesday of September or the second Tuesday in October.
Okay.
And then the ordinance itself would go into effect 30 days after, should the council wish to approve such regulation, then it would go into effect 30 days after.
Can I make a comment?
Where did you, huh?
Can I make a comment?
Yes, go ahead, Councilor Gabby.
So I agree with Andrea that it's a little, kind of caught us off guard a little bit tonight, not through any fault of anybody, it's just an interesting question. So I think we live in a society that has a lot of litigation, and as such, we're stuck kind of straddling the fence. I don't think, I think Councilor Washburn's initial suggestion that we require some insurance was a good suggestion. And then I think the counselor came back with a good suggestion to say, well, we don't really want to do that, but you can kind of urge it with this language. So I'm, at this point, I'm in favor of the compromise between those two, where we urge it, but we don't take the responsibility on the city to enforce it. So that's where I stand right now. That's the option I'd like to do. It's, I think it's a good compromise. I don't want to go further in either direction. So as of tonight, I'd be in favor of that, that option that compromises the two without taking that responsibility on the city to enforce.
Okay, so
if we, Madam Mayor?
Yes.
If we put this out further, then that means the beer station is going to be totally out of compliance by the time we actually vote on this. And it's because it has to go into 30 days, correct?
Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. It wouldn't go into effect until 30 days after you vote on it.
So if we took it up, and of course naturally we would have to have the public go through the same public hearing in 2 weeks, but we could do it in 2 weeks, but no later than that. So what is the druthers of the, yes, I'm sorry, plant technician Andrews?
Well, I'm not sure. So we've closed the public hearing and we've closed the record.
I haven't closed the, we have closed both of those.
So
we need a decision.
I don't have the ordinance in front of me, but I believe that we would have to re-note it.
Yeah, we would.
And there's a 20-day requirement for the noticing.
Yeah, so
in order to reopen the public hearing. Yeah.
Well, and
that is true. If you reopen the public hearing, deliberations, of course, could continue.
Okay.
Without the notice, as long as testimony isn't taken from the public.
Okay.
Okay. So the deliberation could happen in 2 weeks without it. So.
Yes. How
to undermine?
Yeah. I'm going to our legal counselor. So we could continue the deliberations until 2 weeks from tonight. Is that what I'm hearing?
You could, as long as, yep, the hearing's closed. Don't take any more testimony. You can talk about this in 2 weeks, or you could entertain a motion tonight. The council options in the on page 3 of the AIS did say adopt, provide staff with other directions. And then there was a deny the request. So to me, it seems like continuing the deliberations would be providing staff with other direction to bring it back at a future meeting.
Okay, do we need a vote then on that? Or do, can we just say that?
I'm hearing a bunch of different counselor positions. I would at least want a consensus. So yes, I think a motion would be helpful to know which direction, what direction staff is receiving.
Okay.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I guess my question is, what information is staff going to bring back to us that we don't already have in 2 weeks? What don't we have to make that decision tonight? Because don't we have either version one with insurance or version two is without insurance? And that's the one that you, Counselor Gamby, said you liked?
Yeah.
I like the one that urges them to, the application requires insurance, but the city will not enforce that. It leaves it on the property owner to enforce. So that one, in my head, I'm a little juggled on if that was version one or version two, but that's the one I'm in favor of.
I think it's version two.
Version one has the insurance state language in it.
Okay.
I guess I'm remembering wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not opposed to what Andrea said to talk about it again in a couple of weeks, but what Ken's saying is a good point. Unless we direct staff to bring us more information, we're going to have our same information, but we will have had more time to think about it and get clear on where we stand on it. Like, maybe, I think that's what Andrea was saying, just for our own clarity.
I just wasn't sure, and I don't mean to cut you off.
That's fine. No, I'm done.
I wasn't sure if, like, changing, I just want to make sure that the verbiage is right. And is the council happy with version two? I mean, does it state how Councilor Gamby said, you know, we encourage it, but we don't, I can't remember how you said
enforce it.
Enforce it?
Yes.
I think that's version one.
That would be with insurance.
Right, but it's like with insurance without enforcement is version one. And without insurance, version two doesn't even bring up insurance.
Okay.
Yeah, it's without.
So I'm right now in favor of version one because I think that's the compromise that Councilor Washburn brought up, but it doesn't take the liability on the city. So.
Is that correct, Carrie?
Yes, that's correct. The version one, page 10 of 26 in Exhibit B, in C2 is where that language is in place for the insurance. And it's the same that I read earlier. You have to read it again if people wanted to hear it again.
Yes, if you wouldn't mind reading it again.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the applicant provides proof of general commercial liability insurance coverage for the licensee's operations in the amount not less than $1 million per occurrence and $2 million aggregate. In addition, the applicant shall provide proof of property damage insurance coverage in an amount not less than $100,000 per occurrence and $500,000 aggregate. While proof of such coverage must be submitted by the applicant, city is not required to determine the accuracy or completeness of the proof provided. Applicant is solely responsible for maintaining valid insurance company coverage, for the duration of the City of Junction City Mobile Food Unit permit.
So that says just exactly what Councilor Gamby was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So does anyone else have any questions, or do you feel like that it is necessary for us? Because I have to agree with Councilor Gamby. I'm not sure what we can, or Councilor Wells, what we can bring back or what we can ask the staff to bring back to us more than what we have in front of us tonight.
And I think staff has done a good job on in how she wrote that. And it does cover all bases, and I think it sounded like we really wanted when we discussed this before. So I would go along with Councilor Gamby, and I would also agree with version one.
Okay. Counselor Seneca, is there any questions or any more information that would help you that anyone, any staff are can give you?
Well, hearing it again, rereading it two more times, just sitting right here, I just...
Would it help if we called a slight recess so that you could have time to read it without the rest of us sitting here?
I've heard it and read it a total of five times.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure I have a good, because I think Counselor Conley's the one that said this kind of takes a liability off the city. But at the same time, we're putting it in writing, so there's still liability. Is that right?
There could be. I mean, it is. Correct me if I'm wrong, Carrie Conley. If someone gets hurt and they decide to sue, they would sue, say they got hurt by a cart, they'd sue the cart owner, they would sue the property owner, and it's a possibility that the city might get sued, but not for sure. Is that right?
And that is right. So the city would likely not get named if the coverage that we are stating is required as part of a permit is in place. If the coverage we're stating is required is not in place, then my language tried to draft around city liability.
No, wait, say that over again. Now you've confused me.
Okay, so a claim would only come against the city if the insurance we are saying has to be in place, which is the $1 million, $2
million. Yeah, okay.
If that's not in place, so if there's no coverage for the damaged individual, then they would turn to the city.
Okay.
And we would point to the language of we're not required to determine accuracy or completeness. We would try to say, hey, look, we are still not responsible because we said up front we're not responsible.
Yes. Okay.
But I just want to be clear. The claim against the city would only happen if the insurance wasn't in place.
Okay. So we need it in place in order. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Any other? Does that help?
That does help. That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other counselors? Any questions? Comments?
I just want to make a comment that this has been a long process. I think the Planning Commission deserves a real word of encouragement for the job that they did for us.
I agree.
And I think that we have discussed it very well as a council too, but it's taken a lot of time, but I think what we're getting to at the end is what we want. So I just wanted to get those words of thanks in there.
I second that. I agree. And it's important that this is something that we're new to, the food cart. We do need to take our time in making a decision. But how would the council like to proceed now?
I think it's time to figure out what we're going to do and take a vote.
Yep.
One way or the other.
Okay.
Put it to bed. Because...
So I need to... Yes, Carrie?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Would you like me to read the ordinance in full and then you could see if you have a motion?
I would be delighted for you to do that.
Okay.
So I don't have to.
All right. So ordinance number one, and can everybody hear me? I should
yes.
Speak clear. I want to make sure I'm heard.
Yes.
Can you all hear?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. So ordinance number one, an ordinance amending City of Junction City Municipal Code Chapters 1705, Introduction and Definition, 17135, Temporary Use Permit, and 17150, Administration, Enforcement, and Interpretation to permit mobile food units in commercial zones. Whereas per 17145.010, the Junction City Council initiated an amendment to City JMC Chapters 1705, 17135 and 17150 in order to add mobile food carts as permitted use in commercial zones. And whereas the proposed amendments to the zoning ordinance are consistent with the Junction City Comprehensive Plan and Ordinance, and whereas notice of a public hearing before the Planning Commission was published in the Register Guard on July 1st, 2021, and notice of the City Council public hearing was published in the Register Guard on July 27th, 2021, and whereas the Planning Commission held a public hearing on the proposed amendments on July 21st, 2021, and adopted findings of fact similar to those set forth in the attached Exhibit A, and recommended to the City Council that Junction City Municipal Code Section 1705, 17135, and 17150 be amended as presented in the attached Exhibit B version 1, Exhibit B1, B2, and B3 respectively. All exhibits are incorporated herein by this reference. And whereas the City Council held a public hearing on August 10th, 2021 and continued the public hearing to September 14th, 2021 and took testimony on this matter at both meetings, taking said testimony into consideration and making its decision, now therefore the City of Junction City ordains as follows. Section 1, the City Council of the City of Junction City adopts the above findings and the findings of fact set forth in Exhibit A as the basis for adopting this ordinance. Section 2, Junction City Municipal Code Section 1705, 17135, and 17150 are hereby amended as set forth in Exhibit B. Section 3, this ordinance will go into full force and effect on the 30th day after City Council enactment, read in full for its first reading on the 14th day of September 2021.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
A question?
Yes.
Since we discussed these two versions of Exhibit B, do we have to state in our motion or somewhere, or is that already in there?
When I was reading, I said B version
1. Okay.
Just to clarify.
Okay.
You can clarify in your motion if you'd like to. Also, but I tried to take care of that for
okay.
you.
Okay, and that's fine. If it's law, I just wanted to make sure it was there. After all our discussion, I wanted to make sure we had all bases covered.
Okay. Well, I will entertain a motion for ordinance number 1.
Madam Mayor,
yes.
Council
yes.
Worker.
Yes.
I make it a motion to adopt ordinance number 1.
Excuse me, Madam Mayor, we have to make a motion to read.
Wait, I'm so sorry.
Excuse me. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Make a motion to read. To read it by title, number one by title only. That's the first motion.
I'm just going
to
say that. Okay.
I make a motion to read ordinance number 1 by title only.
Okay.
And I second it.
It's been made and seconded that we reread ordinance number 1 by title only. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. It is passed that we will read it by title only. Now we will entertain. Nope.
She needs to read it by
title. Okay, you need to read it by title only, Carrie.
Will do. Okay, thank you. Ordinance number 1, an ordinance amending City of Junction City Municipal Code Chapters 1705, Introduction and Definitions, 17135, Temporary Use Permit, and 17150, Administration, Enforcement, and Interpretation to permit mobile food units in commercial zones. And just clarifying again, this is version 1 of Exhibit B.
Thank you very much.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I would like to make a motion to adopt ordinance number 1.
Thank you. Do I have your second?
I will second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded on ordinance number 1. All those in favor, Councillor Wells, how do you?
Yes.
Councillor Gamby?
Yes.
Councillor Thomas?
Yes.
Councillor Senega?
Yes.
And Councillor Washburn?
Yes.
And Councillor Leach is not available. So it is, ordinance number 1 has passed. Thank you, everybody, so much. And now we have resolution number 1. Okay.
I don't know if the main technician Andrews wanted to share anything about this. We need to take public comment before you consider approving resolution number 1.
Yeah, I was just going to turn it over to our planning technician, okay?
Thank you. So before you, the resolution number 1, and resolution would adopt a fee of $100 for the temporary use permit for mobile food units. And this would be an annual fee, so it would be $100 for a year. And it would amend on the second page of the resolution. It would amend the existing resolution for fees for planning and land use action and add a temporary use permit for mobile food units in the amount of $100 annually.
Okay. And does our legal counsel have any comments on this? Carrie?
No, Madam Mayor. It's just, it adopts a fee that is referenced in the newly amended ordinance.
Okay. Thank you. And counselors, do you have any questions or comments in regard to this?
Sounds good.
Everybody? I'll entertain a motion. And do we need to read resolution number one, right?
We don't need to read it in full, but you'll first want to take public comments on.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Don't mind me. Okay. Is there any? Let me put it over here. Is there any public comments on resolution number one, which is a resolution adopting a new temporary use permit fee for mobile food units for the city of Junction City and amending Exhibit A of Resolution 862. Is there any, yes?
My comment, or my question would be.
Could you state your name and address, please?
Kathy Campbell, 554 Calmia Street. My question would be, if you were a business and had just like a two-day event, would you still have the $100 permit fee?
That's a good question. What is the staff?
May I address that?
Yes.
So the ordinance language that the council just passed, there is a section in there for exceptions. And let me see if I can grab that real quick, right? But it does offer an exception for an event like where a mobile food cart has been invited by the property owner to be on their property for a weekend grand opening. That would be exempt from the permit requirement.
Thank you.
Any other public? Anybody? Anyone online? Okay. Yes.
I have just a question.
State your name and address.
Cindy Montgomery, 1215 Oak Street. Did the council, I didn't grab a copy, is there a limit on how many food carts can be on a location?
That's a good question. To our technician, Andrews.
Yes, I would be happy to address that. So there isn't a certain number that limits how many carts can be on a location is the siting of the carts themselves. So the carts have to meet setback requirements. They cannot impede traffic or pedestrian walkways. But things like that will limit the number of carts that could be on a particular property for safety reasons.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions or comments from the public? Nothing online. Okay. Anyone here? Okay. Hearing none, what is our next step then? To read the whole?
You can entertain a motion if you'd like for the resolution. You don't have to read it.
Okay. I will entertain a motion for the resolution number one.
I'll second that motion.
I'll move to adopt resolution number one.
Okay. And we have a second from Dr. Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we had a resolution adopting a new temporary use permit fee for mobile food units here in the city.
Yes. Madam Mayor, can I get a clarification? So the motion to approve resolution one was Councilor Wells, and the second came from...
Counselor Washburn.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Okay, and we will go down the line here. Counselor Wells, how do you vote?
Yes.
Counselor Gamby?
Yes.
Counselor Seneca?
Yes.
Counselor Washburn?
Yes.
Counselor Thomas? Motion passes. Our resolution passes, I should say. Sorry. And our next is the Tri-County Chamber Report with our Executive Director, Rick Kissock. I'm sorry. Thank you for sitting through all that. Appreciate it. All of you.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's been a very busy few months for the Tri-County Chamber of Commerce. And we're looking forward to a busy fall and winter season as well. The Chamber office was open during the Scandinavian Festival for the 4 days, and we did have several out-area visitors come in. A lot of great questions, where to visit. They enjoyed the festival and still wanted to spend a little bit more time in the surrounding area. So we were able to get some people out to the wineries, get them into some of the restaurants, and hopefully they were able to spend some money in our economy. We're also getting an uptick in the number of visitor requests this year. Of course, that's a no-brainer, seeing as that we really didn't have anything last year. We were all pretty much shut down. So we are getting visitors coming back. A lot of interest in the wineries, and I think we all have had a little bit more interest in the wineries this year. So a lot of people heading out, and we're also getting our request for some relocation information. So some people understand that there is some housing being developed out here, and they're looking to move out into less densely populated areas, if you will. So we are getting some our requests there. We've had the pleasure to do several ribbon cuttings in the past few months and for some new businesses in the area. And while some local businesses are still struggling with COVID issues, there are signs the economy is moving forward with some of the new businesses that are opening in our area. Even tomorrow, we're going to hold another ribbon cutting to celebrate business growth at the new and larger location of South Valley Automotive. So if you've noticed, he has moved a little bit north there into a larger building, and Mike is growing. So it's great to see the growth in some of our businesses here. The Chamber's working hard to return to normal activities. We're holding our monthly networking breakfasts and lunch forums, and we appreciate the participation we've seen from City Council members coming and joining us. This past weekend, we held our golf tournament. On Thursday, we're going to hold our annual meeting and awards lunch honoring Junction City Farm and Garden as the Small Business of the Year, Bird's Hardware as Large Business of the Year, and the Junction City Moose Lodge as the Organization of the Year. In addition, the Chamber Board has approved a proclamation that will be read at the meeting honoring all of our Chamber member businesses and organizations as outstanding for their efforts the past 18 months to continue in the face of the adversity brought about by the pandemic. We're really, really proud of our members and the work that they have done. Moving forward into the fall and winter, a job fair is being planned by two of our Chamber members, happen to be right here, Kathy Campbell and Cindy Montgomery. They're working hard with Workforce Lane County to put on this job fair, and that's being planned to take place either at the end of September or sometime early October. So stay tuned for more information. We plan to hold our annual Distinguished Service Awards Banquet on November 4th, honoring volunteers from Junction City, Harrisburg, and Monroe. 4 citizens from each community will receive awards. The awards are Youth Service for a High School Senior, Educator of the Year, Outstanding Citizen, and Lifetime Achievement Award, which recognizes 30 years of volunteer service to the community. Chamber membership is not a requirement to receive the recognition. Nomination forms are available from the Chamber office, and nominations do close on October 1st. So if you know of a community volunteer that you would like to nominate, please get in touch and we'll get you a nomination form. The past 18 months have been tough on all of us, but we've had so many people that have gone out and done so much for our communities. It would be nice if we could recognize them in response. So please, if you know of somebody that's gone that extra mile, let us know. Plans are underway to hold the Christmas light parades. They will be held on Friday, December 3rd in Junction City, Saturday, December 4th in Harrisburg, and Saturday, December 11th in Monroe. We're currently working on a theme and should be able to announce that very soon. I've already had a commitment from a person up in Grand Ronde. He loves coming down to the Junction City Parade. You've seen him in the past few years that we've had the parade. He's got the big tractor and trailer with Santa sleigh and all the decorations, about 25,000 lights. He told me he's adding a few more lights this year. And he wants to add something. I guess he wants to be seen. So, but he's excited, and he's really excited to come back down to Junction City. And of course, we're going to put the plug in right now. We love seeing what Public Works comes up with each year. So Gary, we'll get you the theme. Look forward to seeing that. 2 years ago, that was so awesome. Anyway, of course, all of these events are subject to the restrictions that are imposed due to the pandemic, and we will follow those restrictions. I promise, Chief Bob, we'll follow those restrictions. Plans for spring include our annual dinner and auction event, and hopefully for the third year, the inaugural Taste of Tri-County and Business Expo, and that'll be held up in Harrisburg. The Chamber continues to look forward to working together with the city on matters of economic development as the city grows in population and business activity. We are seeing an uptick now. I talked yesterday with a person who's going to open a business here, he hopes, in the next couple of weeks. So it's great to see that there are people willing to get up and get out there and take that chance and open businesses. We've had some new businesses open. It was great to cut the ribbon at MLB's Insurance Solutions. It was on her first anniversary out there, had a great time. Fish's RV, we had a cutting with them. Finance of America, new business locating in the area. Integrity Solutions, new business locating the area. We also got to reopen Smith Street in Harrisburg. And just this past Saturday, had a ribbon cutting to reopen Park, City Park in Monroe. Oh. So lots of things happening. We're excited. We see a bright future despite everything that this virus is throwing at us. And look forward to a great next quarter and next year. So any questions?
Any questions?
Great, thank you.
Thank you for the great job.
Thank you very much, Rick. Yeah. Appreciate your time and your trouble. And you're always welcome, remember.
Thank you.
Okay. And now we have before us the Junction City High School Noise Parade Street Closure Request. You have the information in front of you. I just think this is such a great, great parade. Especially since I sit on my front porch and watch it. So, and you're all welcome. There's always an extra rocking chair out there. So what is your the druthers of the council on this? It would take place on September the 22nd from 6 to 8:30 p.m.
I think we should carry on the tradition that's been going on for years. Keep it going because it shows support for our schools and our athletes.
And do I hear a motion in that? To that respect?
I'll make the motion as soon as I can find it.
Okay.
Page one.
Down at the bottom of page one right there.
I make a motion to approve the street closure request for the Junction City High School Homecoming Noise Parade on September 22nd, 2021 from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m.
I'll second that.
Made and seconded that we approve a motion to for street closure request for the high school's Homecoming Noise Parade. Is there any discussion questions? Hearing none. I will call for the vote. I got Counselor Wells?
Yes.
Counselor Gamby?
Yes.
Counselor Seneca?
Yes.
Counselor Washburn?
Yes.
Counselor Thomas?
Yes.
And motion carries. And next is the item I added, which was the library board appointments. And you have before you, do you need any time to look these over? Since I gave them to you tonight.
I didn't get any.
I didn't get any news.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. That was.
Just have to be the golden child.
Okay, here, I'll pass these. There's the two of them there.
Good luck.
We have the library board, of course, with our new librarian, Michelle Snyder. And we have on the board is April Harris already, Chris Vanderlyn, and Jennifer Degas, or Degas, I'm not sure how she pronounces that. And then we have two applicants to fill the two. And the reason why I'm bringing this to you tonight and kind of hurrying it in is I think it's important for our new librarian to have a full board. And so that the users, because we do have so many users of our library, especially with school starting and the kids back in class. And of course, the computers are always in use by everybody. And I just think that it's important that, like I say, that the library have a full board so that they can go forward with their, whatever they have in mind for the future. So, and if you want to pass that along and.
Thank you.
And this, rather than waiting another month, I think it this will, to help them to start whatever programs they are. Okay, does anybody else want
to? We got some. Okay. Kelly passed them over.
Oh, okay. Oh, you've got, okay. All right. So the two applicants are Laura Brown, and she lives here in Junction City on Laurel Street, and Nancy Sabin, who lives on 17th. And both of them have very extensive resumes to add. Laura Brown, this is the benefit of our audience and those listening in.
Madam Mayor, I have a
question. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, do they do a background check on these since they're working with our children and stuff in the library, or is it just for the board?
Let's see, one of them is tax accountant, the other one is a foundation administrator for the Oregon Credit Union.
I understand. I was talking about a background investigation.
Police chief would.
We can run a background check if they're going to be in contact with kids. Yes,
yeah.
Other than that, we don't. The police department does not do pre-employment background checks, and they include, the council includes any employees outside of the police department.
Okay.
But we do check for criminal histories based on applicants that are going to be like around the pool.
Okay. And this is the board who does.
Right, I looked at it. I see it's the board now.
With the children, it would be just primarily to run the operations. And so, having seen these, I would entertain a motion to approve these two new people for. So that we got a complete board over there to run the library.
So moved.
Okay. Been moved by Counselor Gamby.
And I'll second that.
And second by Counselor Wells to approve the Laura Brown and Nancy Sabin for the library board. And is there any discussions, questions? If not, Counselor Wells, how
yes.
Do you vote? Counselor Gamby?
Yes.
Counselor Seneca?
Yes.
Counselor Washburn?
Yes.
And Counselor Thomas?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'll tell them to get busy working over there. And then we'll go to the Revolving Loan Committee. And we have the applicants in front of you, which are Craig Carpenter, Ethan Nelson, Kara McDaniel, and the newest nomination would be Darren Olson. So how does the council feel about my nominations? Those four with myself would make up the revolving loan committee.
I have something I kind of want to say about this before we make a decision tonight.
Yes.
Cindy Montgomery kind of already said what I was going to say tonight. You know, I still would like to see Cindy on the revolving loan fund. I think as a longtime business owner of a small business that's, I'm sure, has gotten bigger over the years. I don't really know how they started and where they're at today, but I think 20 plus years.
25 in November.
25, I think that speaks volumes to the business that they're doing, the reputation that they have in the community. And to know that she was not being considered for whatever personal reasons when she followed the requirements to have her application entered on time and was interested and wanted to be a member of the Revolving Loan Fund Committee. I think it's been said.
I feel the same way.
That it wasn't right, it wasn't fair, and I don't want to, you know, beat the horse with this, but no disrespect to anybody else that has applied, but I don't know if Cindy would reconsider. I think she met the requirements. She did what she was supposed to do. She had her application in on time. She showed interest. She's done well in this community. She's very active, and I would like to personally see her on this committee.
I appreciate your comments, but that's not who is up to be approved or not disapproved tonight. The people that I am putting forth for you are, as I stated, and with Darren Olson as the one public or concerned citizen, with the three people who are involved in the banking and investment.
I wasn't totally finished with what I was saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry. Go ahead.
I wanted to just follow, you know, finish with saying, I don't think we had our applications turned in. We had, when they were to have them turned in by, those were the people that were interested. And I don't think that we should go out and recruit who we want because there's personal reasons why we don't want somebody. I think that this has been gone about the wrong way. And for that, I don't feel I can make a vote on this tonight.
I feel the same way and I absolutely love Darren. He's my pastor. But it wasn't done fairly in the first place.
And I don't mean, and I know Darren's here, I'm sorry, I don't mean any disrespect at all. I just, we had rules, we had application deadlines, and we have personal reasons that were done, and I don't think that we have treated our applicants that had met the requirements, we treated them fairly.
I want to know what personal reasons that you're talking about, because I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yes.
I as mayor, I have one of the things I do is I draw up a list of people for the revolving loan committee, which is three people from the banking and investment era, and then one from the general public, and that is what I have done. It has no. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate anyone who has put their name in for this. It's just that I have the right to come up with four names, and that's what I did.
And you had, at the time, you had Lynn Wendell and Cindy Montgomery, who turned their applications in.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you nominated or recommended Lynn Wendell, the council. Did not approve that. The council wanted Cindy Montgomery, and you said you would not recommend her, or you would not nominate, or I don't know the correct terminology, appoint her.
And I have apologized to her. I didn't not nominate her for anything to do with Wendy, with Cindy. We use her company and have ever since we've lived in Junction City. Nothing against her. She's already on the Planning Commission. And I want to get as many of our citizens, we want to get what the city is doing out there to the public. And having someone different on each one of the committees helps do that. And that's what I was trying to do. We had, you didn't want Wynn Wendell, so I went to John Edwards, who is a past mayor and runs one of our most successful businesses. And y'all said no to him. So now I've come up with Darren Olson, who is a pastor. And it has nothing to do with whether I like or not Cindy. I have no reason not to like her. It's just that I want to get more citizens involved in what the city does. And this is one way of doing it.
But you had two applicants that turned their applications in by the time that they needed to be turned in to make a decision. And when the council voted against what you had appointed and recommended, then you went out and seeked other people when Cindy was here and has...
I haven't gone out to seek anyone that...
You did. You went out and you seeked out John Edwards. You've seeked out and Darren Olson. And I'm just not understanding when Cindy Montgomery had met the requirements to have this application.
There are no
showing interest.
The only requirements that Cindy would be...
I'm not done. You refused to even consider her.
Well, it sounds like, does anyone want to bring these nominations to a vote? So I will call for a vote on my recommendations that are here tonight.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I feel this is very important that we get this committee up and going. I agree with you 100%. And I think the longer we delay, we as a city are the ones that suffer and our citizens do. So at that point, I would like to make a motion to approve the mayor's appointment to the Revolving Loan Fund Committee.
And the four that I...
Within your nominations.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Yes.
Been moved and seconded that we accept my four recommendations tonight, and I will call for the vote.
I have a comment.
Yes.
Can we make comments?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Cindy Montgomery. I think she does a great job in so many different ways in the city. Just like what Rick mentioned tonight, she's involved in a lot of different ways. So if you would have brought her name forward at that point, I would have been happy to vote for Cindy. At the same time, I respect that you brought Wynn's name forward. So, I mean, again, I don't know why you brought one rather than the other. You brought one, the council didn't approve it. Like, that's the council's right, and that's your right. But just speaking personally, I love Cindy. I think she does an amazing thing in so many different ways. I also love Darren. I love Wynn. I mean, there's a lot of really, John Edwards, you mentioned, does a great job. So there's, and then tonight, Cindy came and said what she wanted to say and she rescinded her application. So as far as I'm concerned, like, I'm hearing what she's saying and I'm with Councillor Wells. Like, we've delayed this a long time. Our committee is not functioning for literally, I mean, it's September now. That means our committee hasn't been functioning for at least 8 months. There's so many great people in the city and I'm with Councillor Wells. Let's get it going. Who knows where it goes from here? If Cindy's still interested down the road, she certainly could still be interested down the road, but I don't want to delay it any longer. So that's my comment, and I support what Councillor Wells just said. So,
Madam Mayor, I just also wanted to add, we're very fortunate to have this many good qualified applicants. And I want to echo everybody else's words and high praise for Cindy Montgomery. But we as a council have to approve what is presented to us. And I think now at the point, like I said, I think it's time we move forward.
Madam Mayor, may I say something?
I'm sorry, not right now, no.
Okay.
You could wait and make comments if you want to. Is there any other comments or anything anyone would like to say? As I said, there's no way I can put, even if I wanted to, Cindy, because she withdrew her application. So, so we have the four names here tonight. And Councilor Seneca, how do you vote?
Can I not vote? Because I can't.
You can abstain.
I'll abstain then.
Okay. Councilor Washburn.
I'm also going to abstain from voting.
And Councilor Thomas.
I will abstain too if I can give a reason why. I've seen you throw little bits and things when you don't get your way and you reword it and bring it back a different way. Because I sat right here and heard you say, well, actually it was across the street. And like I said, I love Darren's my pastor. But at that time, his name wasn't in there. And Cindy had got about this legally and you said, I would never appoint Cindy to this position. That was your exact words. You can go back and listen to it on the tape if you so choose.
And but you didn't, that's not the full thing I said. I didn't stop there. I said I didn't, because she was already on the planning commission, I wanted to broaden the number of citizens in Junction City that are part of what we do as a city. And that's the only reason. My best friend is Cindy's best friend, my cousin. I have nothing against the lady. And like I say, we have four good people here ready to get this revolving loan committee going. And I don't understand why you keep rejecting good people who come. I think the public and the community needs to know why.
One of the problems, Madam Mayor, with the revolving loan fund is everybody's term comes at due at the same time. It should not be that way, so you have people there that can stay in the position and get things done.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it's something we need to work on as a council. But tonight, we need to at least get a revolving loan committee together so that they can start working.
Could I get clarification if she's still on the phone from our attorney? Can they refuse to vote?
I'm sorry, what? I am here, and what was the question?
Can the councilors abstain from voting? I thought they had to vote one way or the other.
Oh, no, you can't abstain. It's strongly preferred that you vote. You are elected to a position to make sometimes difficult decisions, and so it is, you know, I always encourage a vote, yay or nay, especially if you've been involved in the procedures so far, you know, for some counselors who may not, who have just been appointed and aren't familiar with the issue, it might make sense to abstain. But it is something that is available.
Councilor Connolly.
It's a tool that's available.
Councilor Connolly, we have three out of the five present who have chosen to abstain from voting. So how does that work on a motion? And you only have two out of five that are voting on it.
So you have...
We only have five councilors present.
Six present?
No, we have...
Five councilors are present.
Along with the mayor.
Okay. And three of the five councilors have chosen to abstain from voting. So that leaves two members that are left voting.
We both voted yes. So does it pass?
I don't know. I know under certain charters, no vote or abstentions count as no's. So if you guys want to take a couple minutes and let me look at this, I can look it up for you.
All right. We will have a brief 5-minute recess.
Okay.
Thanks.